This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. This is Nick Ashwasega. Today, we're joined by Brian Calio, and of course, you're listening to another edition of Nation Talk Radio. To start, Brian Calio actually became the program director for the Banff Center Indigenous Leadership and Management in August 2003. He's also Cree and a member of the Sucker Creek First Nation in the Treaty 8 area of North Central Alberta, and of course, also holds some wonderful educational degrees, a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, a Bachelor of Laws, and a Master of Laws from the University of Alberta. So thank you so much for joining us today, Brian. And I know I've gave you a bit of an intro there, but maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for inviting me to the show. And so I'm a Cree lawyer by training, also quasi-academic in a way that I research and write and publish in the areas of treaties and Aboriginal rights from a legal history perspective, as well as more recently a little more work around leadership and economic development in Indigenous communities. I'm married and father of two and a grandpa to three grandkids, and have been here at the Banff Center since 2003 full-time as director, but I was actually started as a faculty person before that, and then half-time as associate director for a couple of years. So really been around the programs here for close to 14, almost 15 years, I guess.
Wonderful. And I know the Banff Center, of course, is quite the recognizable name and a leader in Indigenous programming. What does it mean to the center to be such a leader in the Aboriginal professional development space?
It's quite an honor. You know, our programs have received quite a bit of recognition and respect with Indigenous community leaders from across the country. And we've actually even had much interest from Indigenous people from around the world, Indigenous leaders. So we've had Native Hawaiians, Native Americans, Maori from New Zealand, as well as Australian Aborigines come to our program. So there is a lot of interest in the kind of work we do. But, you know, I have to admit that I'm building off the shoulders of, you know, two other previous directors. Andrew Barrow was the first director in 1995, first full-time director, and then Robert Breaker for the next few years after that. So certainly they started the programming, and I've been able to build upon the good work they did. And, of course, we have a great team of people around me, my manager, and although we have a small team, my program coordinator and a sales lady who we call personal learning advisor because she works with leaders who are inquiring about programs, and she helps match them to the sort of programming needs that they have. But she also is able to allocate the scholarships we're able to get from external, primarily corporate partners, and invest that in the Indigenous community leaders who come to our programs, and helps reduce that cost to an extent, sometimes cuts it in half or more sometimes. So that really helps, you know, the accessibility issue so that they are able to come and access the programs.
Well, it's, again, wonderful to hear that there's such a strong team. And you're very humble, Brian. I know you're a great leader as well, too, though. As you mentioned, building off the shoulders of others. But at the same time, I've heard nothing but great things coming with regards to the attention towards the Banff Center. And one thing I'd like to touch upon now, though, is a little bit more towards the actual programs in Indigenous leadership that are being offered by the Banff Center. Our audience may be quite familiar with a few of the programs, specifically some of the more recent ones. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about some of the programs currently and who would be the ideal student?
Sure. The ideal student really is any Indigenous leader who's really passionate about making positive change in their community. So they come to the programs really hungry to learn. They really have passion to make change in the community, to put ideas into action. So a lot of our programs are really built around adult education principles, and that is our faculty will teach theory, models, ideas, concepts. But really a lot of the focus is on very practical skills and knowledge that people can put into practice when they go back to work. That's the type of ideal student that would come. Our programs, a couple ways I describe our programs are really the knowledge and skills and capacity for community leaders to, you know, to help build their communities and to help implement whatever dream of an inherent right to self-government that they have. Certainly, we had a lot of feedback in our own research we've done with focus groups and other forms, competency map research we've done with Indigenous leaders across North America, and gave us feedback on the kind of training they would see an institution like us provide. And certainly self-government and self-determination is high on their mind. They really are interested in a sort of a cultural element or a very relevant programming, because that's one thing they find about, you know, some other leadership development programs, perhaps at a school, at a university or something. They often find it's not linked closely enough to your cultural needs and identity and so on. And again, that's what we heard being very important to community leaders. So we are able to look at case studies from really around the world, but certainly around North America and across Canada, what are often referred to as best practices. We have adopted a new term that we call wise practices. We're not saying it's best as in a corporate model or something. We're saying there's a lot of wisdom in these success stories, and other Indigenous leaders can be inspired by and learn from the efforts another organization or another community has done. So in essence, you'll learn a lot of and you know, be engaging in many of these kind of stories of success, many of these new concepts around nation building, you know, putting plans into action. Certainly a leader can have dreams and ideas, but really in the end you need to turn that all into action. So a lot of our content is around, here are tools, here are maps, here are ways to help you deliver on some of the needs to the community and the aspirations to the community.
Wise practices, that's definitely a term I think our audience will be very appreciative of. And it's good to see, again, that an organization like BAM Center really trying to lead the way and continuing to lead the way, actually. At one point I'd like to now mention, maybe our audience might be a little more interested as well. Are there any opportunity for prospective students to receive financial aid? Or how, you know, also the process to get involved and apply as well, too. Maybe you could touch upon that a little bit for those potential audience members out there right now who want to get involved.
Yeah, every Aboriginal person, leader, manager, administrator from a community who is interested in our programs, if they contact us through our website or contact our personal learning advisor, Alexia McKinnon, she would talk to them about the kind of learning aspirations and objectives they have. You know, for example, somebody might be at their point in the career or their community, they might really be at the front end of doing some important strategic planning. So the strategic planning program might be the one for them. And so on. So she'll help, you know, the person identify what's the best learning needs and the best program that they might attend. These are all 1 week intensive programs at the center. Now, the other thing we've done too is custom program, where we actually go out into communities and deliver the programs too. Although most communities are not looking for an entire week program in their community, they're often looking for shorter versions, and we do that. So anyway, she matches them to the program that their needs require at this point in time. And then she also looks at the scholarships we have available and matches that with them. Certainly some industry are impacting certain areas, so often their funding applies to people from a certain region and so on. So she's good at trying to make it as affordable for everyone to attend. So, you know, all they really need to do is inquire, and they can learn a lot from her.
Wonderful. Again, listeners, for those who actually have the pleasure of catching this online, you'll find a couple links below which can provide you a bit more information on how to get involved as well, too, and get in touch with the BAM Center, specifically also the Indigenous Leadership Department. But one thing I'd like to now mention, does the BAM Center offer any other Indigenous programming? I know you do a little bit in the arts as well, but, you know, again, with BAM Center being such a leader and having such an encompassing feel for Aboriginal programming, what other type of Indigenous programming is there?
Yeah, those are the two main Indigenous programming areas. Sandra LaRonde, Anishinaabe woman from Toronto, is the director of Indigenous Arts, and they run some wonderful programs here, various residencies in all kinds of areas, whether it's dance and theater or writing, filmmaking, recording and music, a wonderful array of programs there. Now, also, many of the other areas that are non-Indigenous here, so different arts areas, including even the Leadership Development Office that we're a part of, very often Indigenous, they might have themes around an Indigenous topic, so it might not be led or run by the Indigenous programming, but quite often these other program areas will have an Indigenous theme or at least some Indigenous artists or leaders involved in a different kind of event. And we often partner with some of those departments to help run those as well. So there's certainly a lot of opportunity. You know, the BAM Center is quite an amazing place. You can cut an album here. You can produce an album here. You can create animating films. You can do an opera here. It's just for such a small campus, it's amazing what can happen here.
Well, there you go, listeners. Make sure to watch out for that resource tool going to be coming out May 7th by the BAM Center. And for those listeners as well, you can stay in touch by checking out more information at www.bamcenter.ca. And for more on the Indigenous Leadership and Management Programming, you can go to www.bamcenter.ca/indigenous-leadership. And for those listeners who also have the pleasure of catching this online, though, you'll be able to find links to both those below this interview. Thank you all for listening and taking the time. Thank you again as well, Brian and Jimmy Gwish.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.